Welcome to Simply Scottish, a podcast of all things Scottish, with music, features, interviews, and more, on the web at www.simplyscottish.com.
Hello and welcome to Simply Scottish. I'm your host Andrew McDermott. Thanks for joining us for a celebration of all things Scottish. I'd love for you to stay in touch with me. Send me an email with your comments or questions to podcast@simplyscottish.com. That's podcast@simplyscottish.com. You can also join in the Scottish community on Facebook. Get updates, Scottish trivia and a chance every month to win Scottish music at facebook.com/simplyscottish. Our Twitter handle is @SimplyScottish, and the official website of the podcast is simplyscottish.com. I look forward to hearing from you. On this episode of Simply Scottish, the second of a two-part series on Scotland's connections with Ireland. This time, we look at similarities in politics, the arts, sports, food and drink, and more. First, this is Liz Carroll with The Cup of Tea.
Thank you.
In the first part of our two-part series on Ireland and Scotland, we looked at the shared Celtic history and language of the two countries. We looked at the legacy of St. Patrick and St. Columba, missionaries credited with bringing Christianity to Ireland and Scotland in the 5th and 6th centuries. We talked about the Celts, a group of tribal societies that at one time ruled over a significant amount of continental Europe. The first century geographer Strabo described the Celts this way: "The whole nation is war mad, both high-spirited and ready for battle, but otherwise simple, though not uncultured." A more idealized picture of the classical Celt comes from the poet Virgil: "Golden is their hair and golden is their garb. They are resplendent in their striped cloaks, and their milk-white necks are circled in gold." The Celts slowly made their way across Europe and through modern France into the British Isles. In part one of this two-part series, we also discuss the language of the Celts. Common Celtic is the ancestor language of the original Celtic languages, and the foundation for Old Irish, the earliest recorded language of the Celts of the British Isles. Scottish Gaelic developed from Middle Irish through migration of the Scoti, the original Celts of Ireland. And before Scotland became Scotland, it was Pictland, and the Picts had a distinct Celtic language of their own, Pictish. Historically, there is much that connects the Celtic nations of Ireland and Scotland. But what about today? On this episode, we look at some of the modern cultural connections between these two countries. Ireland and Scotland are both located on the northwest tip of Europe. They have similar populations and land areas. They share comparable challenges in sustaining prosperity and social justice. They have both been a part of the United Kingdom, Ireland from 1801 to 1922, and Scotland since 1707. And they have both undergone major political change in recent history. Ireland became a sovereign state in 1922, and Scotland re-established its parliament in 1999, both changes that have redefined each country. Scottish historian Tom Devine, who started the Institute of Irish and Scottish Studies in Aberdeen, says the Irish have been Scotland's main immigrant group of modern times. And it goes both ways. Scottish immigrants into Ireland in the 17th century had a major impact in the evolution of modern Irish nationalism and political activism. One man in particular who illustrates this is Michael Davitt, Irish land reformer and social campaigner. Born in 1846 at the height of the Great Famine in Ireland, his family was evicted from their home and settled in England. As an adult, Davitt campaigned against unfair land and tenant laws. He was a frequent visitor to Scotland and was closely associated with the crofters' struggles in the Highlands and Islands. Ireland, with unprecedented rates of economic growth in recent years, is a model and inspiration for Scotland, and there are many Scots who would like to see their country enjoy some of the great benefits that Ireland now enjoy as a sovereign state in Europe. Coming up, examples of a shared Celtic culture in sports, the arts, and food and drink. Here's another great example of the Irish Uilleann pipes. This is called Rón de St. Patrick. Thank you. You're listening to Simply Scottish. Join our Scottish conversation at facebook.com/simplyscottish and get a chance every month to win Scottish music. At least two teams in Scotland's top football league today have direct Irish roots. Hibernian FC, based in Edinburgh, was founded in 1875 by Irish immigrants. The name comes from Hibernia, the Latin name for the island of Ireland. Their colours, solid green and white, reflect their Irish heritage. Celtic FC, the first team in the British Isles to win the European Cup, was founded a few years later in Glasgow. They also wear green and white, and the official crest includes a four-leaf clover. When it comes to the arts, Scotland and Ireland share a rich and vibrant Celtic heritage. Celtic art is immediately recognisable with its ornamental circular patterns and spirals. A few standout examples include the Book of Kells, an illuminated manuscript by Celtic monks of the four Gospels in Latin, dating from around 800 AD. Another example is the Tara Brooch, a Celtic brooch from around 700 AD, embellished with intricate decoration. It was discovered in 1850 and is now housed at the National Museum of Ireland. Thanks to a revival of Celtic literature and art in the 19th and 20th centuries, Celtic art is everywhere now, including Celtic crosses, jewellery, and even tattoos. Since Ireland and Scotland share similar land features, the food of both countries, while distinct, reveals similarities. As in Scotland, what you ate was what you could afford. Meats included beef, mutton, and pork, and seafood as a staple. The introduction of the potato in Ireland in the 16th century turned the vegetable into a staple for millions. Potatoes were widely cultivated, and it wasn't always by choice. The penal laws in Ireland were a series of laws imposed under English and later British rule that sought to discriminate against Roman Catholics. Under the laws, the large Irish Catholic majority was denied the right to buy land or pass it on to their family. Farms became smaller and the population grew, and when the crop was poor, famine resulted. Approximately 1 million people died, and 1 million more emigrated from Ireland in search of a sustainable life. Some of the dishes still enjoyed today in Ireland include Irish stew, black pudding, boxty, a potato pancake, colcannon, a potato and kale dish, and soda bread, a popular yeast-free bread. In a few minutes, the verse of Gaelic poet Sorley MacLean. First, here's a track from the soundtrack to a film called I Could Read the Sky. It's about an old man at the end of his life in London as he remembers growing up on the west coast of Ireland, his journey to London, and his harsh life as a migrant labourer.
Grey wall running with water. I stopped on the pier for no good reason to see if anyone had come to meet me. woods get lost. I have a clock. The minutes go by. Very uncertain. I taste the brine of tears coming to my mouth, but I let on nothing. I wonder if I've the fare home and if I can find a way. They must be joking. It's black outside. There's no way back now. What is more, though? There'd be no comfort in sleep or drink. It's like something is covering me that threatens my breath. It's like something is moving that will break things inside of me.
This is Simply Scottish, a podcast of all things Scottish. On this episode, we continue an exploration of Scotland's connections with Ireland in the second of a two-part series. Sorley MacLean is one of the most important Scottish poets of the 20th century. Born in the island of Raasay, his first language was Scottish Gaelic. After receiving a degree at the University of Edinburgh, he returned to the Highlands and Islands community to teach, and was influential in the preservation of Gaelic in Scottish schools. While his early poetry is in English, he preferred to write in his native tongue, Gaelic, and is considered by many as the father of the Scottish Gaelic Renaissance. His work often drew parallels between historic events, such as the cultural genocide of the Scottish Highland Clearances in the 19th century and the tragic events of Rwanda in the 1990s. Consider these sobering lines, entitled Calvary. My eye is not on Calvary, nor on Bethlehem the Blessed, but on a foul-smelling backland in Glasgow, where life rots as it grows, and on a room in Edinburgh, a room of poverty and pain, where the diseased infant writhes and wallows till death. There is so much more to be said about the ties between Ireland and Scotland. We will certainly revisit Celtic culture again on upcoming episodes. For now, I'll leave you with an old Irish blessing. May the road rise up to meet you. May the wind always be at your back. May the sun shine warm upon your face and rains fall soft upon your fields. And until we meet again, may God hold you in the palm of his hand. That's it for this episode of Simply Scottish. I hope you've enjoyed this celebration of Celtic history and culture. Be sure to visit simplyscottish.com for more information on the music and content of today's show. Between episodes, be part of our conversation on all things Scottish at facebook.com/simplyscottish. And if you have iTunes, subscribe to Simply Scottish and get new episodes automatically. I'm Andrew McDermott. Tune in next time for another visit to Scotland on Simply Scottish.
Simply Scottish is hosted and produced by Andrew McDermott. Show content is copyright 2012, Simply Scottish Media. All music used with consent of copyright holders. Continue your Simply Scottish experience on the web at www.simplyscottish.com. Thanks for listening.
I fell into a restless sleep of crazy, changing dreams, and woke to find you standing by my bed. Your winds were blowing when you called me. First you spoke my name, your voice was still the same. You beckoned me, and I arose to follow where you led. Out among the wild Clahinya hills, the mountain mist had lent an eerie whiteness to the hill. The silver spider threadings caught my face. You darted through the bracken, trailing stardust in your wake. I knew you'd stop beside our sacred place. Clahinya winds were blowing when you called me. First you spoke, your voice was still the same. You beckoned me, and I arose to follow where you led. Out among the wild Clahinya hills, you stopped upon the fairy hill beneath the hawthorn tree. Thought I heard the lonely banshee wail. You held your hand towards me, and I reached to touch your face, but woke to find that you were just a dream. Your voice was still the same. You beckoned me, and I arose to follow where you led. Out among the wild Clahinya The magic of the dream eludes me still. I've lain beneath the fairy tree, I've shouted to the moon. I am the haunted woman of the hill. Clahinya winds were blowing when you called me. First you spoke my name, your voice was still the same. You beckoned me, and I arose to follow where you led. Out among the wild Clahinya hills. Out among the wild Clahinya hills.